Welcome to the Treasure Corner. I'm Dan Hughes. I've been metal detecting since 1973, and I've written for several of the Treasure magazines. I invite you to check out my book after you listen to this program. A typical beginning treasure hunter heads to the local public park or schoolyard and begins digging coins. And that's fine, as long as he's learned proper digging techniques, because he will come home with lots of new coins jingling in his pockets and a great feeling of accomplishment. It's a lot of fun at first, finding all that money, bringing it home, and proudly showing it to his friends and family. After a few detecting trips, he will appropriate some glass pickle jars and peanut butter jars and begin filling them with the pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters he finds with his metal detector. And all those jars of coins do look impressive, but looks can be deceiving. A big jar of pennies translates into just a few dollars. And before too long, our beginning treasure hunter will start to ask himself if he is really using his time wisely. If all he is finding are current coins with no numismatic value, he's working pretty hard for a low wage indeed. Now some people are perfectly happy with this metal detecting lifestyle, and there's nothing wrong with that. Being happy is a good thing. And even if you're finding just common pocket change, still, you're coming home with more money than you started with, and as we've said before, what other hobby can make that claim? But most treasure hunters would like to have more to show for their time. Saying, "I found 50 coins this afternoon," certainly sounds impressive, but it's probably best to say no more than that, because when you break it down, you'll have to admit that those 50 coins were a quarter, two dimes, two nickels, and 45 pennies, all recent and common dates. And that might leave you feeling a little deflated, because when you count it out, you'll find that you've dug a total of exactly $1 for 3 hours' work. And the question is, would you work a job for 33 cents an hour? Probably not. But wait a minute. What if all 50 of those coins were dated before 1900? Would you still feel bad that their face value was just a dollar? I don't think so. So the big question is, how can you find the older coins? The secret is simple. To find old coins, hunt the forgotten spots where people hung out when those coins were new. You'll need to do some detective work to find out where people gathered a long time ago, but it's not that hard. And I find it surprising how many treasure hunters don't bother doing any research. A good treasure hunter is also a good historian. One thing you can do fairly easily is to visit your local library and study the history of your town and your county. Find out where your town started. If you're not sure where to look, ask a librarian. Several years ago, I met a treasure hunter at an organized treasure hunt who had a beautiful display case full of coins. They were all from the mid-1800s. He told me that he'd found an old book of Indiana history at a small town library, and in that book, he read a story about a tiny community on a southern Indiana river that flooded every spring. The residents got tired of the water coming up every year, so the citizens moved the entire town to higher ground a few miles away. This was just before the Civil War. The old town was abandoned and is now a farmer's field, but the location of the original town was marked on a map in that old history book. My friend approached the farmer who now owned the field that had been the downtown area of the old community. He got permission to hunt the land, and he came away with several dozen pre-Civil War coins. Many towns of today started elsewhere but moved because of flooding or politics or railroad location. My own town, Champaign, Illinois, was started because of the railroad. The town of Urbana, Illinois, was here first, but when the railroad came through 2 miles west of Urbana, a community called West Urbana sprang up around the new train depot. This new town was renamed Champaign, and it eventually grew to almost twice the size of the original Urbana. It also grew to butt right up against Urbana. The two towns now adjoin each other. In effect, they're one town with two names, and in fact are called Champaign-Urbana, or as some of the locals say, Shambana. Even if your town has never moved, it probably started from a small central area and then expanded north, south, east, and west. If you know the oldest parts of the town, you can figure out which parks and schools are the oldest. And those are the places that hold the older coins. That's a little bit of information about hunting cities and towns. What about the rural areas? Here's a quick tip. When you're driving in the country, watch for groups of large trees in farmers' fields. Farmers planted trees around their houses as windbreaks. When large farm concerns bought out small farmers, they often tore down the farmhouses but left the trees. So the house may be long gone, but the trees are often still there. And when you see big trees standing by themselves in a farm field, the odds are good that a farmhouse once stood near them. And if there are coins to be found there, you can bet they won't be recent ones. We'll cover research in depth in another show, But for now, start thinking about old places, because they're the key to finding the older coins. Thanks for listening. I'd love to hear your feedback or ideas for future shows. Drop me a note at thetreasurecorner@gmail.com. And check out my book, The Metal Detecting Manual, at treasuremanual.com. Until next time, from the Treasure Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.